You're listening to the FlavorFest Urban Leadership Podcast with Tommy Kalonen, a proud member of the Dunham Audio Network.
Welcome to the FlavorFest Urban Leadership Podcast, where we talk to innovative artists, creative pastors, church planners, entrepreneurs, and people creating movements. Our goal is to inspire and equip you in ministry, music, and the marketplace. I'm your host, Tommy Urban D. Kalonen. Hey family, what's going on? Welcome to episode 24, the FlavorFest Urban Leadership Podcast, and we are excited. We're getting ready for FlavorFest 2021. It's coming up October the 7th through the 10th at Crossover Church in Tampa, Florida. We want to invite you, your people's peoples, everybody to come down and hang out with us. And we're adding a bunch of new things this year. One of the things I'm really excited about is the Battle of the Elements. That's right. We're going to have all these different elements of hip-hop. We're going to have the 16-bar challenge. We're going to have the crate challenge. No, I'm just playing. We ain't going to have the crate challenge. I know that's a little bit viral right now. But we are going to have a DJ battle. We're going to have a beat battle. We're going to have a breakdancing battle. We're going to have a beatbox battle. We're going to even have a graffiti battle. So all those things are going to be going down at FlavorFest in the evening concerts on Friday and Saturday night. If you're listening to this or watching this, and it's still in the month of August, so that's like right when this is dropping, you can still get your submission in for that. But everybody else, like, listen, you want to come to the conference. The conference is going to be amazing. We got Dr. Eric Mason as one of the speakers, Tony Collier, her husband Sam Collier. They are pastors of Hillsong Atlanta. We've got KB as one of the general session speakers as well. I'm going to be doing one of the general sessions. There's going to be just so much great stuff happening throughout the day. We got 6 workshop tracks. And actually a bonus workshop track that we're going to talk about in next week's podcast. But we've got urban apologetics, we've got church planting, we've got youth ministry, we've got church innovation. We're going to talk about some ways that we've been innovating at Crossover Church and growing even through a pandemic. What else we got? We've got one for artists, of course, and then we've got a track for entrepreneurs. And so you don't want to miss it, guys. You can go over to flavorfest.org and see all the details, and you can get your registration and get your team registered. And listen, if you're coming with a team of 7 or more, you can actually save $20 per person of coming to the conference. Yeah, $20 off per person. And a conference registration includes you come to the whole weekend conference. You get tickets to the music festival at night. That's included. We feed you lunch both Friday and Saturday. You get a FlavorFest t-shirt. You get a bag full of resources. I mean, most conferences, all that stuff is a la carte. You got to pay extra for lunch. You got to pay extra for a t-shirt. You don't get no resources. You don't get no festival concert. Like, all that stuff is included. So it's super value-packed. And we do that for you. We don't make no money off FlavorFest. A lot of times it costs us money to put the event on. But we do it because we want to pour into leaders. And we want you guys to win. We want the kingdom of Jesus, kingdom of God, to win, right? And grow in the urban, multi-ethnic, creative space. And so, hey, today we got a brother that's on this podcast that's going to be doing one of the general sessions as well. I didn't mention his name yet because you're about to meet him right now. He's been on some of the biggest stages of church conferences in the last couple of years. God has opened up incredible doors for this guy, and he is from New York City. And so, family, check out my guy, Michael Carrion. Yeah, what's going on, Pastor Mike? How you doing? Represent from the Boogie Down Bronx.
Hey, man. How are you, Tommy? Good to be here.
Man, it's good to have you on the podcast. We're super excited to have you at FlavorFest 2021 in person. Yeah. You're going to be in the building. We're bringing you down from New York to sunny Florida. Excited, man. You're going to be sharing one of the general sessions and sharing in one of the church planting track as well. And so speaking of, like, let's jump right to it, man. So, like, during the pandemic, a miracle happened at your church, and you guys got a new facility. And if people, a lot of y'all know that are listening to this podcast, you urban, like, especially if you're in New York City, it's really hard to find like a big space to meet.
Yeah.
You have this warehouse. I'm watching on, you know, social media, you guys putting the carpet down, painting, building the stage. I'm like cheering for you. Like, yes, let's go. And then you guys moved in, had your first service, like, you know, it's spaced out because it's still COVID. And then like, what, 2.5, 3 weeks later, the building burns down, the whole block burns down,
the whole church burned.
So, man, tell us that crazy story, bro, and the miracle that's happened since then.
Absolutely, man. We got this space because of COVID. To your point, the pandemic, a lot of the landlords were starting to now look for other places because people were getting evicted left and right. Businesses were shutting down. We had an opportunity to partner with another church, a good friend of mine, Bishop Eric Aguirre, tremendous dude, man of God. Church planter, apostolic leader, and says, "Hey, I got this space. I've got an upstairs loft. This is an upstairs loft, pretty wide, 6,000-7,000 square feet. And you know, would you guys want it? You know, why don't you come check it out? You guys can, you know, rehab this space, knock down the wall. We had a smaller church there, but if you wanted it, you've been looking for a while. And so we jumped on it, Tommy. It was the right price. It was the right moment, and you saw." We were step by step, you know, rehabbing it, knocked down, modified it, threw in like almost $250,000 just in audio visual. I mean, we were able to bank money through the pandemic. But then once we got the opportunity, we went all in because this would have been our space. You know, we were grateful to be renting from another church for 2 years. Dr. Mitchell Torres, you know, shout out to Harvest Field Community Church, my man's in them, but boy. We were so in it, explosive. The church was so excited. We opened up, packed out, bro, on the third week there. I started a series. Check this out. God has a sense of humor. I started a series. It was the Sunday before the series, Nehemiah's construction site. Nehemiah's construction site. So I turned around, I get a phone call at 6:30 in the morning. And it's one of our associate pastors. And she says, "Pastor Mike, the church is on fire." I said, "You crazy. I mean, are you, what church? Whose church? Can't be our church, right?
Brand new church and you got all this stuff in."
Our brand new spot with all our brand new stuff. No, man, I can't. Anyway, so she calls me and it's on the news. It's on every news channel. And so we turn around and my son, who's one of our pastors, Pastor Matthew, we jump into an Uber, we get over there, and bro, I get there, and there's like 7 fire trucks. What had happened was, there goes the corner, and down the block, there was a 99-cent store. Nobody knows how it started, but in the 99-cent store, I guess there was a wire that burnt up or something, and it started down the block. 7 businesses stopped at the corner, blew up the chicken spot, then continued to go down around the corner.
That chicken grease just
explode. Seriously. Like, I'm for real.
Yeah.
Like, there's like chicken grease all over the corner. And so it blows that thing up and then goes and destroys 3 churches coming toward us. And so, man, I get to the church at 7:45. And brother, I mean, the window is blown out. And I'm there going, you know, live stream. Like, I can't even believe this is happening. I'm in total shock. And we just watched New York's bravest just go in there, and they were trying to be so gentle, but you know, when the fire departments and the bomberos come, Spanish, you go in the bomberos, they come in to save lives. They don't go there to save furniture. So they walked up in there and they tore that church up. And what had happened was the restaurant had blown up into our sanctuary, literally. When I got to the sanctuary, the kitchen of the chicken spot was in the middle of the sanctuary. All chairs were melted. And then the force of the water coming in from 3 or 4 sides, because it was that big. It was a multi-alarm fire. One of the biggest in the history of that section of the Bronx. And so we took a hit, man. We took a major hit, and we had just started to get our grounding there.
Wow. But so nothing. You weren't able to salvage any of the equipment, really.
Not
after the chicken spot is in the middle of the auditorium. It's a wrap.
It was a wrap, brother.
Brand new stuff.
All that brand new computers, brand new speakers, brand new everything. Brand new everything. we had just laid down. We had just in the classrooms. We were putting down the floor. We had just, oh my God, it was just, we couldn't even believe it, you know? But to God be the glory, you know, I said to the church, this is stuff. We're the church.
Yeah, we are
what justify and sanctify, make this space holy. And so we'll replace it and we'll grow. So that happened in January. And then from January, for the next 3, 4, 5 months, we didn't leave. We stood there, faithful to that location, faithful to that community. And we just served them. We loved them. We still put out, fed the homeless. We still hit evangelizing the community in the streets. We still gave out our resources. We still gave out food to thousands, because in the midst of that fire, there's still a pandemic going on. Yeah. There's still people that are unemployed, facing eviction, going through program issues. And we went out there and we still served our community in spite of not having a facility. We were able to partner. Huge shout out to Pastor Pucho Bauta downstairs from us at Living Word Restoration. He loved on us. He allowed us to use the smoky space, because while we were on the top, he was on the bottom, and both locations were really damaged. He had more water damage. I'm the one who had the smoke and the other stuff, chicken grease flowing all over the place in the sanctuary. But ultimately, by God's grace, man, we got through it. So about 6 weeks ago, to God be the glory, we had people from all over the city. We had people from Africa, Caligue, Africa, send us support because they had heard about the fire. The Redeemer Presbyterian movement under Dr. Keller was so gracious, generous. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Dr. Michael Keller, Dr. Tim Keller, David Brisgrove, so many, Dr. Abe Cho, so many of the, and you know, it is, you know, it's a God thing when people from across denominational spectrum are coming in to support.
They come together.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. You know, Baptists tend to look out for Baptists. Yep. Pentecostals tend to look out for Pentecostals. Mm-hmm. Reformed, the capital, you know, they tend to look out for their folk. But when they start coming together and they say, none of that matters, but how can we support? How can we love? How can we fundraise? What do you need? What do you need? And that's what we saw. We saw God bring the city together in a lot of ways. Behind the loss of Promised Land Covenant Church, we were very, very grateful. And we, 6 weeks ago, we went back in. And since we've been there, even though there's been, you know, of course, increase in COVID numbers, we've been faithful to social edict and all the expected rules and compliance with CDC. It's been wall to wall and growing.
Yeah.
And growing. At one point, we broke 350 in attendance at one event. Yeah. I mean,
praise
I was
God,
like, wow.
Man.
Yeah. And we just recently, to God be the glory, because, you know, of course, HVAC and assist in the Bronx, when you get a triple net lease or you get a space, the hardest thing for a Bronx or a building or any sort of dense city, LA, Chicago, wherever, the hardest thing is the HVAC, the heating and the cooling. And by God's grace, man, all of that's covered. We got a brand new, a bunch of commercial ACs, heating already established, carpet. We had a Bridge Church from Maryland send over thousands of dollars they bought a whole new building and all their stuff, not their broken stuff, not their junk, all their stuff. Pastor Eli Hernandez, you know Pastor Eli Hernandez
out
there.
Yeah, man, yep.
Eli, we went over there with a U-Haul truck and him and his pastor, Bridgeway.
Went shopping.
And I took pictures of that. They gave us, you know, we were able to get a brand new carpet, commercial carpet, set it up, man. So it was, the miracle was we're back. And I don't know too many churches that suffer 150% loss and come back within the same year.
Yeah.
Come back within the same year. And I didn't even realize that. I was speaking at an event and the pastor that was next to me, Tom, he says, you know, it's a miracle. He said the same thing you said. It's a miracle. I've never heard of a church that lost everything and got back in the same year.
Yeah,
and
like so, in 6 months.
Yeah, like in
like what?
6 months. Yeah.
And in New York, so like that, where everything takes a while, usually with permits and all the red tape.
Yeah,
and
man.
Plus, we're in a pandemic and like there's a lot of supply chain issues. And
yep,
man,
absolutely.
That's miraculous. So you're in the same exact space, right?
Yeah.
But they had to rebuild the walls and.
They had to rebuild the wall. We had to gut out. We had to gut out and expand the altar. We gut out the altar three times because after the first time, the fire department came in with water. the moisture seeps into the wood. That wet wood turns into mold. Yeah. So we kept finding moisture. We had to gut it out. We gutted it out 3 times. And then we gutted out the offices 3 times. And then we gutted out the children's space church about 2 times just to get it, you know, acceptable and presentable. And, but God provided. God provided and then some for everything. Yeah, and amazing. I would say what we got now is better hardware, better audio, better lighting. Everything's better than what we had the first time. Man. That's right.
Look at God.
And I'll say this to you. That I really believe that God builds his church. Yeah. And not just, and we all know, we understand the symbolism, typology of Old Testament, but he builds his people. And I really believe the best thing that could have happened to us, brother, was the breaking of our hearts in this situation.
That's good.
Because it created a humility and a synergy and a thirst to see more of God. Of course, there was lament and weeping, but God was building our hearts. For what we have right now. And I'm so grateful for that. You know, but truly, a God working miracle. We can take no credit because in all those factors you mentioned, building permits, COVID, social edict, resources, you know, certain things you just can't get. Somehow we got them.
Yeah, and you guys are growing in the middle of this. And that is super, super rare with all the obstacles that are stacked up, you know, against you and against churches right now. So pastors out there, church leaders, be encouraged. Like, God can show up even in the middle of a pandemic and put you in a position that is even better than where you were pre-pandemic.
That's right.
So, man, I'm really, really happy for you guys, man, because I know I've been to Promised Land several times over the years in different locations. Guys have like bounced from location to location. I remember I was so happy. It was funny. It came up on my timeline just a couple of weeks ago, beginning of August, 4 years ago, came up on my, you know, Facebook timeline.
Yeah.
I came up for the weekend. We went to the school. We did like a training.
Yeah,
and I was there on Sunday and spoke at the two services. And man, I was so happy for you guys that you have this space. It was like that old, used to be a gym and a theater, I think, at one time. But it was a big space for the Bronx, for New York City. Yeah. I remember it was very expensive, though, and you guys were trying to, you know, just stay in there. And it was a challenge, but the space was big and God was moving. I remember there was, I think it was probably about 500 people that came to church that day between the services. And man, the altars were filled and God moved that day. And then when I heard that, you know, you guys lost that space and then you had to go to Saturday night, I was just like, but look at God now, because in this, you guys stayed faithful, remained faithful. And now you're in this space that's even better and more affordable and everything's brand new.
Everything's brand
new. Because that building you were in 4 years ago, although the size was big and you could accommodate a lot of people, it was an old building. I remember you told me the heating was like a nightmare in the winter. It was
nightmare,
like
bro.
So expensive. And, you know, there was like the insulation was bad, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We were freezing in that. There was a plethora of issues with that building. And to your point, big is not always better. It was a great space, but we froze. And then in the heat, it was Africa hot, brother. When I tell you, unbelievably hot. And you felt like you were in the Serengeti, you know what I'm saying? ultimately, that was a great experience. And you're right, Tommy, you've been with us. And I believe most urban churches, unless they've got the fiduciary solvency to purchase a building and get the asset, are going to be missional and going to be nomadic.
Yeah.
And in doing so, every time they got to go from one location to another, they've got to reimagine, readapt, recontextualize, because it's a new community. And what worked in the last church building is not going to work in the new church building. And I think that's really, I really believe, because, you know, the church is 17 years old. We planted 17 years ago. And so ultimately, over the last 17 years, we've learned that God is faithful in every season.
Mm-hmm.
And every location, there was some sort of challenge. And every place we went to and everything that we went through, there was something that we had to face, some Goliath that God dropped.
Yeah.
Right. And as the seasons start and seasons end, we were able to then move into a new season. So I'm grateful, because there's so many lessons learned, to your point. But I think urban churches that have grit and resilience, they're going to move. They're going to move. And I think every time they move, they grow. And that's great.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, man. You talk about that resilience and you got to stay in there. Me and my wife, we just celebrated 25 years being at Crossover Church. So, you know, people can come and see the building and, oh man, this is amazing. It's like, but man, we've been here for decades now grinding. This doesn't happen overnight. It takes a lot of grit. It takes a lot of sacrifice. It takes a lot of consistency over the years, even through those ups and downs. And we've been through lots of ups and downs in ministry and moments where you're in the down, you're like, are we still supposed to keep going and doing this? Like when God says, yes, stay planted, you know, we're obedient. And, you know, here we are, even during a pandemic, we as well have grown, and it's been a tough season in many ways as a leader to navigate all the different new obstacles and things, and the momentum can be up and down. Okay, we're coming out of it. No, we're not, psych. You know, and that's happened a couple times for us, right? Yeah. So now at this point, like if you would have talked to me in June, I'm like, yeah, man, you know, let's praise God. We coming out of this post-pandemic, is we're starting to taste it and see it, feel it. That I was like, now I'm under the mindset of like, this could be forever, it could be years, there could still be more variants. Like you said, the Greek alphabet is just, we don't know what's next at this point. We do know that the Lord's sovereign, and his providence is going to, you know, we stay faithful, and he's going to help us continue to reach people because people have needs. A lot of people are hungry for the gospel and hungry for things of God now more than ever. And so we've noticed that. And so in the big picture of it, like we're in a much better place now than we were pre-pandemic. And, you know, we'll chop it up more about that at Flavor Fest as well, man. But so to that point, I wanted to ask you, as an urban theologian, as a church planter, as a pastor, as a speaker, and we're going to talk about how you also help lead a church planting organization. Where do you see at this point, like, what do you think is next for the urban church, the multi-ethnic church that's in the city, with everything that's going on with the pandemic and in the world and all the things that are in flux? What's some of your opinion on that? I know for all of us, it's all a little bit of guesswork, but your expert opinion, Pastor Mike, what do you think, bro?
Well, I really think that I've got somebody that Australian mentors that really formed me, right? As one of them is Michael Frost. Another one is Alan Hirsch. And I've done a lot of those guys. Work with, you know those cats. These cats are like the missiologists, the prophetic. I really believe they're like the prophetic voices of the age. And I do believe that. And I thought that for years. And so what I've learned in doing missions in Cuba, looking at their urban experience in Santo Domingo, in Israel, even in New York and across the country, I really believe that now is the time where the urban church is going to take its place. And I think become more biblical, more nomadic, and has no other choice but become more missional. Yeah. When I say nomadic, I mean transient in a sense that it's got to be sedentary and then it's got to move if it's going to grow. And I think that that's absolutely non-negotiable. A lot of the church in the West has settled into this institutionary situation where it's become so institutionalized. Institutionalization has a twin brother called fossilization. When a church institutionalizes, it becomes less flexible, less pliable, less clay-like in the hands of the potter. Why? Because it becomes introverted. Because we've lost all of the norms in the urban space, and the marginalization of people, and the lack of food resources, medical resources, in light of this global pandemic, in light of this, call it what it is, a plague, we've had to reinvigorate our ecclesiology. And I love what Dr. Keller recently stated, my mentor, my boss. He stated that, you know what? In New York, we faced this dynamic where 500,000 people exited New York City because of the dense reality. There's no real social distancing in a city like New York. Yeah. You got 300 people in a project building, two elevators, two staircases. That's not social. We're on top of each other.
Yeah.
He says, we have created an evangelism language for transfer growth, but we have not learned how to speak to and evangelize and disciple indigenous. So a lot of the churches that blew up that became, I think, the Center City movement that are turned into like the Hillsongs in New York, a translation.
They were transplants.
Trinity, they were
real New Yorkers.
Exactly. And there was a language that for a season up until now was very beneficial. But what it created was a tale of two cities. It created it created the elite and it created the rest of us. And so ultimately, I believe that we are not going to see missional movement led by the Spirit from margin, from the hood to the center place. Mm-hmm. In most cases, Western Christianity implies that it's in Jerusalem that the revival is going to start. Everything where culture meets, where income revenue meets, where philosophers meet. But that's not what the Bible teaches. Jesus incarnates in the hood of Nazareth, the South Bronx of Israel, then moves and gravitates toward the, right? His crucifixion is in Jerusalem, but the incarnation happens at the margins. The anointing, the person of God, the exegesis and the explanation of the Father happens in hood space. And I really believe that that's what's happening now. I believe that urban churches that are moldable and pliable, that are willing to contextualize and not give up, will have to work with less and see more of God's hand on them. What do I mean by that? We had some churches lost 60% of their church, just migrated out. Then we had small churches that lost their locations that then had to think differently. And they planted small mini house churches or missional communities is the language we're using. And so one church in Brooklyn had 300 people. Now that same church has 15 mission house churches across the five boroughs. So what happens? In the big church, we'd have a baptistry. We'd have people coming and getting baptized. Now you got people planting churches in project buildings, and you got people getting baptized in bathtubs in the bathroom of somebody's apartment.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to tell you something. That may sound like totally unorthodox, but that is so biblical. And when I heard that story, bro, it brought tears to my eyes, because the more the edicts, the more the stresses, the more the limitations of us gathering to be the beloved community, the more the ingenuity, this crisis has caused us to deconstruct what we call church. And in the urban environment, we have to speak to our neighbors. We have to be good to our community. We have to learn our community, because so many churches, and this is across the global spectrum, so many churches have people that came in, walked into a community where they knew nobody but attended church in that community. And so they weren't invested there. They didn't know the elders there. They didn't know the economy there. They didn't know, right? That's not like your church. Your church integrates. It knows the economy. It knows the local politicians. You are a best practice model when it comes into that community integration. You act more urban and a more suburban community than most urban churches act within a context that is really a dense populace. And I know you got your urban pockets, but your space is not as dense as in New York. We need to look like what you're doing in your church. When you do your mapping, that's the key right now. How are we loving our local community? How are we evangelizing the people that we've ignored all this time, Tommy? That's the question. And I'm seeing small churches in the margins become so creative, become more biblical, and rethink what does gathering look like. Rethink what it means. So from Zoom to 15 members in an apartment to 25 members in a community center to 35 to 40, 50 in a Starbucks, churches are no longer steeple buildings. Churches are now wherever we are. The need to change is not an option, especially for the urban church. And I think that's great, because it causes us to fall back in love with Jesus and to see him even in this. And I think in a lot of ways, the deconstruction of idolatry. I think the church has gotten comfortable, and COVID has awakened us to the fact that we need him even more now than we did then.
Yeah, absolutely. It's weeded out a lot of the nominal Christians. Like, if you weren't serious about this thing, you disconnected. You were on the fringes, maybe, or you came once in a while. There's a lot of those people. They're gone. But there's also some new people that have been drawn in were hungry for God, and now they're on fire for God. And so it's been funny, since we reopened last fall for in-person gatherings, almost 50% of our in-person gathering now is brand new since before pre-pandemic. And we're probably now over 50% in the 11:45 service. And because there's so many new people, it's everybody's coming from New York. You know, I mean, we have It's, we're taking all your people that are, you know, that, that are coming to Florida. But seriously, Tampa right now, we've always been growing since I've been here, because everybody continues moving to Florida at a pretty steady pace. But man, during the pandemic, that has accelerated, and our real estate market is exploding, which is creating even more of a tale of two cities, because there's a lot of people here in the hood that, you know, everywhere is gentrifying now in the city, and it is getting more dense, because now they're building on a block that might have had six single family homes. The developer comes in, tears them down, builds a 8-story parking garage in the middle, and wraps around 8 stories of apartments. And so now there was 6 homes on there. Now there's 600 units on there, you know, with 1,000 car parking garage, which there's 1,000 more cars on the street. So our traffic has been like going up like crazy, and is, but there's lots of people moving here, but everything's getting more expensive. The rent's going up, housing's going up. And so, you know, for those that might be moving from a different market with more money, you know, because it was more expensive there, they sold a house or had a better paying job, they come here. It's definitely bringing some stress. And affordable housing is becoming a really big issue in our community that we're trying to help tackle with several other nonprofits and whatnot. So, but yeah, man, that's so true. You know, a lot of us, we weren't able to meet in person for a season, or some people lost their buildings. So we got to see, what is the church really about? It's a group of people together on mission. And we knew that. That's what we said. But what if you don't have the building? Can you still continue to be a church? And I think it really tested some churches, because some churches, they were you a group of people together on a mission, or were you just a club to come hang out at?
That's right. Come on.
You know?
That's right.
Well, hey, man, these last couple minutes of us being together, talk a little bit about City to City and the church planting movement that you've been a leader in. You said Tim Keller was your mentor and your boss. Talk a little bit about that. And some people on here might not be familiar with City to City. It's a great, incredible resource, guys. So if you're out there, you're listening, you're watching, and you've been contemplating or thinking about planting a church, they may be a great organization for you to plug in with and get a bunch of training and support and all kinds of stuff, man. So I'm gonna do a little recruiting for you, Pastor Mike. So, man, go ahead, man. Talk about City to City, bro.
Well, amen. Thank you. Well, hey, man, I'm privileged to serve as the Vice President of Church Planting and Leadership Development. So I supervise the New York Project, which his goal is to plant 300 healthy missional churches by 2026. That's my assignment. So pray for me, because after 2026, I may have to take a job as a pastor somewhere or something like that. But until then, we're planting and training prayerfully urban church planters and how to contextualize, understand mission, understand strategy, ministry design. What does it mean to plant a healthy missional church that's also has a healthy, robust pneumatology and mercy and justice consciousness? And so we're not progressive, we are orthodox, but we believe that any church, in the urban context in particular, if it doesn't have a heart for the social ills and some of the systemic atrocities that have plagued the urban environment and people of color for all this time, if they don't have that consciousness, then they are not as gospel-centered as they may think. We can't just preach Jesus and then send people home to hunger, poverty, illiteracy, addiction, profiling, also mass incarceration, and not address those social issues.
You got to be holistic.
And being holistic does not mean that you're a Marxist, doesn't mean that you're a socialist. It means that you're biblical, you know? And so we really focus on prayerfully, discerningly train church planters and prepare them. So if you have a person that wants to plant a church, we have an incubator program. It's a 17-session training where we hit all of those hot topics. We also help resource church plants and church planting networks. We do this through New York Project, New York City to City, but also in North America. Mm-hmm. Ephraim Smith is now working with the African-American churches on the Bay Side. I'm doing New York on the East Side.
My guy, Larry Acosta, one of my mentors, he's doing Southern California, L.A.
That's right. He's doing SoCal. And there's more and more people that are gathering that want to see Jesus high and lifted up through this conduit to church. You know, and I want to say this, and I say this pretty often, Tommy, there's only two responses God gives us. We know there's one response. That's the Lamb of God, Yeshua, the Messiah. But the second response to fallen humanity is the church. The church has been imperfect. It's broken. For the last two millennia, there's a lot of reasons for us to say this is a questionable institution, but it is still, in our frame of belief, the response from God and the introduction to the kingdom of God. And so the church still has a special place in God's heart. So we want to train planters that understand, not that they're woke, but can discern, that they can discern. If you want to use the word woke, that's fine. We're not scared of that word. Yeah. But have a consciousness and can read the urban issues and then preach a gospel that is centered not just on coming and attending church every Sunday, but that we have faith in work. We live out our faith day to day. And so City Plants helps plant churches. We partner with like agencies like Stadia, with the Evangelical Covenant Church, with Foursquare, Assemblies of God, every main denomination that's in New York partners with us. We go to their church plant assessments. We assist them with recruiting. We assist them with training and coaching and oversight. But our main focus in this season is evangelism, is discipleship, and it's coaching, especially in a community engagement. How everything that you've been doing, Tommy, and I want to say this, not because it's you, not because, but what you've been doing is taking the rest of us around the country to catch up, to see how important it was to have community mapping, engagement, and integration from the church into the streets. And I am so proud when I see you send out another video. Look what we did now. Look what we did now. Keep sending out those videos, brother, because you're moving the church. A lot of people are not going to give you the credit. They're not going to say, oh, Flavor Fest was this or that. But you know what? People see those videos, they're encouraged, and it causes them to question the status quo and the institutional frame that they're in at the moment. So, you know, City to City, we plant churches, and we want to see Jesus high and lifted up. We don't colonize. We resource, we train, we coach. The denomination has a partner. We want to be a silent partner, empower you, and release you into the call of God at City to City. So started about 20 years ago. Dr. Keller planted Redeemer Presbyterian Church. That church then planted other churches. Then that church, out of the womb of that movement in the city, started City to City. And then that turned into a global movement of planting churches across the spectrum. We're in Africa, we're in Taipei, we're in Malaysia, we're in Korea, we are in India, Dakar, some of the places that have been, I mean, just so debilitated, as you know, on the West Coast, the East Coast, the Midwest. We're in Canada, and we just want to see Jesus high and lifted up.
So if somebody's interested in getting connected with City to City and connecting with you, where can they go, man? If there's somebody out there, like, God's tapping them on the shoulder for church planting, they, you know?
Hit us up on the website, City to City, New York, or City to City, period. You can Google Michael Carrion. All the government comes up, you know, and it'll it's not like I can hide, you know? But, Chief, please look us up. Send us a questionnaire of inquiry. If not in New York, in the West Coast, in the Bay Area, Ephraim, Larry, Robert Guerrero, in Miami is doing such a great work with Felipe Assisi. In Phoenix, Arizona, Danae, Aaron, Daly. I mean, these are missiologists that are developing and training pastors. And cats that are regular, Tommy, these are not every most of the pastors we deal with aren't even MDiv students. They're homegrown indigenous and they got the call. You know what I mean? And the incubator has turned into really, a fresh drink of higher theological education to motivate them to pursue more education if possible with either Reformed Theological Seminary or other seminaries in their community, and then dive better and more equipped into church planting and mission. So, yeah,
that's good,
excited,
man.
Always humbled in this role, and very, very grateful, very grateful.
Well, man, I'm grateful that we met. I remember years ago, our mutual friend, Brother E.
That's right.
Shout out to Elements Church there in the
Ephraim,
BX.
Ephraim works in City to City, too.
Yeah, now he's one of our catalysts. Working there, too. But I remember, he would always talk about, you got to meet my boy, Mike. You got to meet him, man. You know, and then I remember you guys came down to Exponential. That's right. You guys came early and came over to, you know, a Sunday night. That's back when we were doing our Sunday night service. Came and hung out. I remember I took you to the little hole in the wall Greek diner. And we went and ate, hung out late, and got to build some more. And then just over the years, been able to come up and see what you're doing in the Bronx, man. And so, man, I appreciate your voice and just grateful, man, how the Lord has been opening doors for you lately, man. You're a gem in the urban community, like an urban theologian, but a current practitioner of, you know, urban church planting. And it's just great, man, how God's opened up doors. You even be able to speak a main stage at Exponential and you know, the platform you have with City to City, man, your voice is needed. And I'm excited, man, that the doors have been open. And so we're excited to have you at Flavor Fest, doing a general session this year and a workshop as well. So if you're out there and you want to also connect with this guy in person, like, he is going to be at Flavor Fest, so you can meet him in person, chop it up with him, and build. It's going to be an incredible weekend, man. So, but man, thank you for joining us today, man, on the Flavor Fest Urban Leadership Podcast. I'd love for you to pray for everybody, man, before we jump off. There's pastors, there's youth ministry people on here, there's artists, there's urban entrepreneurs. We got all kinds of people that tune in. And so, man, just go ahead and pray for everybody, man.
Amen. Sure, absolutely. Father, I thank you for Tommy and his wife. I thank you for his leadership and, Father, his peculiar anointing and grace. I thank you, Lord, that his steps are ordered by you and that you have plans for him. And, Father, I thank you for his humility, because Tommy is also a gem in our missional community, nationally, internationally. Father, so many leaders, urban artists, so many graffiti artists, breakdancers, so many people that would not have access have found access because he's been a bridge to the least of these. Thank you, Father. I pray that you honor him and that you bless him, that you keep him, that you protect his children, that you continue to expand, oh God, the borders and the boundaries of his church. And that, Father, the leaders that come out of this next generation, Father, would transform every urban space that you call them into. I pray that you bless those that watch this, stir their spirits, convict them. Father God, transform them, give them a thirst to see you high and lifted up. And Father, we'll be sure to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise, because you alone are worthy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, wasn't that good? Man, I always love talking to Pastor Mike. He truly is like an urban theologian. He likes to pontificate on all kinds of stuff. And he's going to be on the general session stage at Flavor Fest and doing a workshop, chopping it up. And so I can't wait for him to be in the building. Can't wait for you to be in the building and experience it. So, hey, in the meantime, guys, if you enjoyed this podcast, if you could subscribe, if you're watching this on YouTube, the YouTube channel is UrbanD813. If you didn't know, this is also a YouTube version as well. We put it together real nice just for you. If you're listening to this on a podcast platform, if you could like it, rate it, share it, that would help us to reach even more leaders. We want to see leaders in the urban context like win. We want to give you guys inspiration, and we want to equip you with new tools, new ideas. And we just want to encourage you, because we know it's been hard to lead a church the past 18 months. There's been a lot of additional pressures and pitfalls and roadblocks and all kinds of stuff that we've had to deal with as leaders. And we want to just encourage you guys, like, don't give up. Don't quit. God's got you. It's going to get better. We're going to get through this. We're called to be hope dealers. Yeah, yeah. And so listen, next week on the podcast, the next person we got coming up, female artist, author, clothing line owner, TV show host, pastor's kid, like this girl, youth pastor, and she's done all kinds of stuff. And so we got Maddie Ray that's going to be on the podcast, and she's also going to be with us at Flavor Fest 2021 in person, performing and also doing a workshop track, a special workshop track that we're going to talk about next week. So until then, family, pray you have an incredible week. Thanks for tuning into the Flavor Fest Urban Leadership Podcast. Stay connected with us on social media at UrbanD813 and at Flavor Fest. We'll talk to you guys next week. Peace and God bless.